We find out yesterday officially the game on Monday night moved out of L.A. and SoFi Stadium out into Arizona. So the home field advantage for the L.A. Rams is gone in this game, and it certainly isn't fair from a competitive standpoint, but I don't think anybody's going to be complaining about that with what is going on in L.A. But I don't know if you've ever had something similar like this happen in your career where, you know, midweek something happened, maybe a big snowstorm or whatever, and you had to relocate, but it can't be... It can't be an easy thing for the players, first of all, dealing with, you know, their homes might be in jeopardy, the family members might be in jeopardy, and now having to leave there and go somewhere else to play a playoff game that you thought you should be playing at home. Just from a football standpoint, I do like the fact that the game was moved because it didn't seem fair that the Vikings had a 14-3 season and didn't have a home game, so a neutral location makes me feel better about that from a football standpoint. I understand that's the least of what's on people's minds out there in L.A., but what do you think the players are going through with this late change in this game?
I think both the Chargers and the Rams are going to play their asses off for their communities. I mean, you're just tied. You're tied emotionally. Every single player, every single person in those organizations knows somebody who has been just absolutely devastated. They all know it, and they know their community. They can feel it in their communities, much like we felt it here on 9/11. You know, all the sports teams here, that's how we all got back together. That's how we all came together. That's how we all became probably at that point in time since World War II, the most patriotic we had ever been. You know, because there was a lot of strife in between World War II and 9/11. There was a lot of discord on the streets about what we were doing, where we were, and how we treated our soldiers when they came home, like, say, from Vietnam. So I would say that the players galvanize this. They also know that in some small way that maybe their effort in a big football game can take people away from what they're dealing with on the ground, assuming that everything is safe and secure. So I don't know. I feel like the players will be inspired to play well for both teams.
Yeah, what about the not having a home game and then moving this game to a neutral location?
Yeah.
I mean, the Vikings were going on the road anyway, and now they don't have to travel, I guess, as far. It's pretty close. But
and quite frankly, I don't know. I really don't know how many Rams fans are going to be going to this game. I mean, that's the other sad aspect of this from a football game standpoint is that, I mean, God, you lost everything. You know, how many of those people that have basically had their lives completely turned upside down, like the people in North Carolina, like the people in Florida with dealing with the hurricanes, how did these
people... It's not going to be people from L.A. I would think a very few would be traveling.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Maybe the NFL will be giving away tickets to locals. Mm. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean... I think they had to make a decision quickly because I was telling you there's probably a number of people that now have to change all of their plans that were leaving, say, Minneapolis to go see this game. And I'm sure there were travel agencies putting trips together.
Oh, yeah.
You know how that goes with Martucci and everybody around here.
Sure.
Blue Travel and Brandon and everybody else. So they all have to now readjust. So I think the NFL obviously did it as quickly as they possibly could. But, you know, I totally felt like yesterday that it was coming and that they should have made this decision.
Speaking of brand, well, one second, because I'm going to get to a branded thing, but tickets go on sale for Rams season ticket holders first at 10 a.m. today, then at some point later, everybody else. So that's a fair thing to do, since they did have a home game by winning their division. So there was a guy, Al, if you could go through your mentions from yesterday, that it was... a Brandon clip, so you should be able to find it relatively quickly. He tagged me in it, you in it, and he's talking about quarterbacks, and I just wanted to see if you got it already? All right, I want to see if you agree with some of the terminology that is being used here, okay?
It's only 6 seconds.
Yeah, so really lock in.
6 seconds of terminology?
Yeah, 6 seconds.
All right, hold on. Let me buckle up here because I'm sure there's probably about five or six different adjectives he's going to use.
You got to be able to let it rip through the winds, and you got to spin it.
Yeah.
And this kid could fling it.
All right, rip it, spin it, and fling it.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like when Mike said window thrower back in the day.
Yeah.
And I came in here that next morning, and I said, I heard Mike describe Philip Rivers as a window thrower. And you remember how that just absolutely took off?
Oh, of course, yeah.
And I gave Mike credit for that. I was making a little fun because I thought,
no.
But I think it accurately described exactly what, I understood exactly what he was talking about.
So rip it, spin it, and fling it. Which one of those, do you like them all, one or two of them?
I like the rip it and spin it.
Rip it and spin it, you don't like flinging it?
I don't like the fling it because I think when you're flinging it, you're not being careful, you're not being judicious, you're not being a great decision maker. Now, who was he talking about?
I think Drew Aller.
Okay, well, it's that doesn't, unfortunately, work very well right now.
Not this morning, yeah.
But I think he was talking about how this kid
has a strong arm and can rip it through the winds.
And he could spin it.
And he could spin it. Well, that's one of Brandon's favorite things about the spinning it. He said Timmy Boyle can spin it. That was one of my favorite ones ever. He's like, hey, don't sleep on Timmy Boyle. He can spin it. Did you ever use that, spin it? Like, this guy can spin it?
I mean, not...
Like you and Phil, when you're talking about Joe Milton the other day.
No.
You're like, this guy, man, this Joe Milton, he can spin it.
No, we don't.
He can rip it?
He can rip it. We'll say rip it.
You will say rip it.
Yes.
Okay. All right, very good.
But I don't ever remember. I'm sure that we probably have used that vernacular in some case.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just, I understand what he's trying to say, but he used three quick descriptions.
Rip it, spin it, fling it.
Yep.
Indeed. It's funny because I was listening to them on the way home and I heard that and I made a note of it and then someone sent us the video. A little bit later in the day. So our audience is, I mean, they are right there. All right, so let's say you go to a pro day and you see a guy just, like, he's got a howitzer for an arm.
And he's ripping and slinging it and flinging it or whatever.
Yeah, no, but what would you say in that spot?
I say...
He lets it go bang.
Well, Phil uses it all the time. He throws with such power.
Ooh, okay.
Right? He throws with power.
Throws with power.
That's what Phil says.
Okay. What do you say?
I just say his arm strength is obvious.
All right.
I try to stay away from the vernacular of the scout. I let people like Lewis Riddick do that. And Phil likes to do that because he works with young quarterbacks and he's all about and all these this whole quarterback guru thing that goes on behind the scenes for all these high school kids and college kids.
Yeah.
You know, Jordan Palmer, Carson Palmer's father does this.
Yep.
You know, they use that vernacular.
I'm going to give you a couple that you hear all the time. He can make all the throws.
Yep, got that one.
And I got another one for you.
Give me another one.
Big-time arm talent.
Big-time arm talent, yes.
Talent.
Arm talent, that's a good one.
Arm talent. Those are two that just popped in my head that people say. Oh, the arm talent on this guy. Like, I don't know how many times I had to hear arm talent with Zach Wilson. God, well, but his arm talent.
Yes.
Okay.
He has arm talent.
You know, I wonder, the way that Bo Nix, I know he played more college games than Zach Wilson did. Yeah. But I wonder if Sean Payton got a hold of Zach Wilson in his rookie season in Denver, because he's on the roster there now, would he have put together a season like Bo Nix?
What do you think, let me ask you this, what do you think Zach Wilson has learned this year that maybe Sam Darnold learned last year?
Oh, yeah, I mean, a ton, but I'm... And he's already gone through the meat grinder, as you like to say, in the NFL, Zach Wilson. You know, he's a third-string quarterback at this point, the whole thing. But I know it's a total hypothetical. We'll never know. But it's curious to me, you know, the way Bo Nix has played this year and that very good defense that they have out there in Denver and the offensive guru that Sean Payton is, Zach Wilson coming into the league as unprepared as he seemed to be with the Jets and then surrounded by a defensive head coach, a first-time offensive coordinator, the tragedy of Greg Knapp that happened that year. They had to bring in his old quarterback coach from BYU. Like, if Sean Payton had that guy, you know, in his infancy, in his prenatal stage, would he have morphed him into a playoff quarterback in his first year?
I always tell you about the environment that the quarterback is drafted into. Fortunately, again, I go back to myself. I had Sam Weish and Bruce Coslett. Both offensive guys, both, you know, thinking outside the box, doing different things that no team had ever done before. And I was very fortunate to be in that environment and to have guys like Turk Schonert and Kenny Anderson as the older players in the room. And believe you me, I learned a million things from those guys. And, you know, that's why the environment worked for me. Sometimes you get thrusted into an environment that doesn't work for a particular player, especially one coming out of college, and that's why they don't make it. A lot of it is still on them. But it also is on the team to put them in the right situation. Like, Daniel Jones has had success. It's not the success and consistent success that everybody would have loved for him to have had or expected for him to have, especially where he was drafted. But he had success. But he was drafted to a team that couldn't make a decision as to who the hell the head coach and GM were going to be to lead the team. So, I don't think that his success, or I think his success, was somewhat inhibited by the lack of consistency.
Yeah, I mean, and we've seen that plenty of times.
You could see that he can play.
Yeah.
The question is, can they play 17 games? Can you stand in there? Can you make the right decisions at the biggest moments? Can you absorb the hits? Can you absorb the social media negativity? Can you absorb the expectations, not only from yourself, but from your fan base, your owner, your teammates? I mean, there's a lot of stuff that goes into it that, unfortunately, some guys just don't understand that they can't handle it until they're thrusted into that position.